Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight, study the word of truth, Lord. We pray tonight as those who listen in, Lord, that by the affection working of the Holy Spirit, that we are enlightened, that we are edified, built up in your holy word, and allow the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, to give us that understanding of the scriptures, and Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten us in the Holy Scriptures tonight. And Lord, that let us be able to understand those words of God that you are giving us tonight, and not only understand them, but let us be able to walk in them, live them, Lord Jesus, and let us be able to have that faith to trust in what you have told us in your word. If we just believe it, all we have to do is trust it and believe it and walk in it. We thank you for this opportunity tonight to teach your word. We thank you for all your spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Lord, we thank you, for we know that those who, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But we know that your grace is sufficient for no matter what we're going through in this life. We thank you for this opportunity tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I got my prayers. I got my prayer, but I didn't get it up on my first one. But we're gonna still go on. I didn't get it on my YouTube one, but that's all right. My brothers and sisters, once again, thank God for all of you. And once again, salvation. Talk about salvation. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, salvation cannot be earned. Everyone is a sinner and deserves death, but God gives eternal life. We have all sinned and deserve God's judgment, but God the Father sent his only Son to satisfy that judgment for those who believe in him. Jesus, the creator, eternal Son of God, who lived a sinless life, he loves us so much that he died, my brothers and sisters. He died. He loved us so much that he died for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserve, was buried and rose from the dead, according to the Bible. The believing sinner is redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We thank God for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. My brothers and sisters, tonight is Monday, June 7, 2021, and we're going to talk about spending time with Jesus. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we who understand and enjoy the Holy Bible rightly divided, approached to the scriptures, are able to realize how the organized religious system is deliberately and fervently opposed to what we believe and support. At least to some degree, the Pauline dispensationalism has delivered us from denominational bondage. That's when we understand God's word rightly divided. The empty traditions and idle speculations of men illuminating us with a brilliant spiritual light. It allows us to escape the pitch darkness of pagan religion, especially that which is masqueraded as Christianity, but is anything and everything but. How marvelous is the Bible when it's delivered dispensationally. Those divine words rightly divided, 2 Timothy 2:15, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, Romans 16:25, can also rescue us from spiritual ignorance. Anyone and everyone who shares our sincere desire to learn God's word, God's way. Irrefutably, dispensational Bible study is absolutely critical to avoid spiritual impotence and defeat. Satan himself fights it as best as he can, for he is quite aware, my brothers and sisters, that dispensational Bible study is the only means whereby God, the Holy Spirit, edifies, encourages, and enlightens us. It is the key to unlocking the scriptures, to understanding God's will for this present age, for the world to see Jesus Christ as the Father God himself sees him today. So my question to you tonight is, have you been with Jesus? Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. If you read that in John 1:1-14, you would see that, because he expressed who the Father is in Hebrews 1:1-3. I just want to share a passage of scripture for our learning and edification tonight. Acts 4:13. Acts 4:13, my brothers and sisters. Acts 4:13. I just want to share something with you tonight for our learning and edification. Now, this is what the scripture says. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Did you see that? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In other words, they perceived that they were uneducated. Talking about Peter, them common men. They were astonished, and they would recognize that they had been with Jesus. These men were hauled before the Jewish council. John and Peter were asked by what power they had healed a lame beggar. Peter, though only a fisherman, was filled with the Holy Spirit and went straight to the cross and to the resurrection, speaking boldly and confidently. This left the religious authorities perplexed. How was it that ordinary, uneducated, common men could know so much and do so many great things? How could they speak with such authority? It seems it was right here that one of them had a little burst of inspiration and suddenly recognized, talking about one of these authority figures, they recognized that these two men were two of Jesus' disciples. They thought they had gotten rid of Jesus. But now, here were his followers, healing in his name and teaching men about their master. Here they were speaking on behalf of Jesus. This explained their behavior. Suddenly, it all made sense. They weren't happy, these religious figures. I find that phrase such a challenge and such an inspiration. They had been with Jesus. My brothers and sisters, my wife and I, we was talking about that phrase the other day. And oh, what joy it brought to her heart when she was asking me about my Monday's message. And I said, we're going to talk about being with Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. It is inspiring to know that the source of the disciples' boldness and confidence was not anything in themselves, but was a direct result of the time they had spent with Jesus. By living with him and communing with him, they became like him. For 3 years, they sat at his feet, followed him from town to town, and acted as his deputies. For 3 years, he trained them, and for 3 years, they became increasingly like him. They walked with the wise and became wise. It is easy to be jealous of those disciples. There isn't much most Christians would give to be able to spend 3 years with Jesus. My brothers and sisters, we can only imagine how they would change us, mold us, shape us, but there's reason to rejoice nonetheless. God has given us his word that we might learn to live as he would have us to live. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the Bible is perfectly sufficient for all matters of the Christian life. We too can be with Jesus by communing with him in the word of God, rightly divided. And this is a challenge for us. If we want to be like Jesus, we need to first be with Jesus. Those that have been with Jesus in converse, in conversations, and communion with him have been attending on his word. They've been praying and celebrating the memorial of his death, burial, and resurrection, and they should conduct themselves in everything so that those who converse with them may take knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. There are many who wanted just enough. There are many who just wanted just enough of Jesus to escape judgment. They believe the gospel. They wanted enough of Jesus to believe, so they believed the gospel, and they wanted enough to be forgiven all their sins, to endure an hour church each Sunday. Many of these saints in the body of Christ, they are in maintenance mode. They didn't got saved and sat down. And as ambassadors for Christ, they give Jesus only the bare requirements. Church attendance to say, I've been to church. A mother daily prayer, perhaps a quick glance at scripture. In short, these Christians avoid getting too close to Jesus. They know if they read much of his word or spend any time praying, the Holy Spirit would allow them to see what's really important in their lives. And the one thing they don't want to change is their lifestyle. Because the word of God, it's gonna point it out for you. So you got a choice then to want to change it or stay the way you are. In their minds, getting to know Jesus puts everything they value at risk. If we are rooted in Christ and maturing in him, no deceptive doctrine will ever sway us. Yet the only way to grow to such maturity is by wanting more of Jesus, and that means spending time in his word rightly divided. Look what Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:11 through 13. These things command and teach. He said, let no man, Timothy, despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He said, till I come, give attendance to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to that doctrine that the Apostle Paul was given to Timothy in the dispensation of grace. My brothers and sisters, as ambassador for Christ, we are to study the word and to learn from it, immersing ourselves in it so that people will look at us and hear us speak and see that we think like Christ. We do things Christ's way, and we are laboring with Christ at what he's doing. And what he's doing today is he's forming, my brothers and sisters, this new organism, this new entity called the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ. Well, we're going to rule and reign with him in heavenly places, my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, they were only, when you done did those things Christ's way, they will only be able to conclude they have been with Jesus. In other words, they have been in the word of God rightly divided. Let's look at what Paul is saying to Timothy as well as you and I. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, a young pastor, to read the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:11 through 13, he said, these things command and teach. He said, let no man despise thy youth. But then let's look at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. My brothers and sisters, an example, verse 12 is a pattern. What's a pattern? God told Moses how to make the tabernacle, but then showed him the pattern. If you read Exodus 25, 1 through 40, God showed Moses the pattern of the tabernacle in heaven. Revelation 15, 5. He probably said something like this. There, Moses, there's the tabernacle. Make it like that. That's what Paul did for Timothy and Titus in Titus 2, 7. You read that. He told them how to edify believers. Then he told them to show people what a believer should look like by being an example, a pattern. Paul told Timothy to be an example in word because words express who you are. What come out of your mouth, what you say, who you represent. Christ is called the Word of God because he expressed who the Father is. Your words, like I said, express who you are. So give attendance to reading. That's the scripture. The Bible, my brothers and sisters. Paul also told Timothy to give attendance to exhortation. Exhortation means to encourage people to do what the Bible says. After the word was read, Paul invited to give a word of exhortation. Now, if you hear the word but don't do it, God doesn't think much of that. So be doers of the word and not only hearers. James 1:22. Finally, Paul tells Timothy to give attendance to doctrine. This is especially important for pastors who must preach the word and exhort with doctrine. My brothers and sisters, don't exhort people to do things with old saying. Don't exhort people to do things because they are things your parents taught you to do. Exhort them to do things with Bible doctrine rightly divided. Not every Christian aspires for maturity. Many believers prefer a gospel that speaks only of being saved from the penalty of sin and going to heaven. But according to Paul, those are basic milk doctrine and not the meat that a mature life requires. How can you grow to full stature in Christ if you refuse to hear a gospel that provokes you to seek the Lord and walk in his holiness? Show you how to fight the good fight of faith. Show you how to walk by faith. Show you how to think like Christ, how to do things Christ's way, and how to labor with Christ and what he's doing. Hebrews 5:12-14 tell us, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belonging to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The writer is saying, you sat under good teaching and preaching long enough. By now, you ought to be able to be teachers yourself. In other words, by now, you ought to be presenting the gospel to somebody. By now, you ought to be telling folks how to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. By now, you ought to be able to tell folks that God's grace is sufficient. By now, you ought to be able to tell folks that this old outer body is perishing, but our inner man is renewed day by day. By now, you ought to be able to tell them to live is Christ and to die is gain. By now, you ought to be able to tell them I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. You ought to be able to tell them what Scripture says. Yet still, after all these years, you're in the same place as on the day you got saved. I tell folks, when folks have been in the body of Christ for years, you know what? You can tell when folks been spending time with Jesus. I said, you just watch how they act, how they carry themselves. Because guess what? Your behavior is going to reflect what you've been putting on the inside of you. You know what Scripture's saying, you're in the same place as on the day you got saved. You know nothing of the meat of God's word. You're still immature, not fully grown in his righteousness. Sadly, this is why so many Christians fall for every spiritual fad that comes along. They're easily led astray, chasing after foolishness. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But a mature believer isn't easily removed from his place. You can't rattle a mature believer, no matter what you say to him, how bad you talk about him. You can stomp all over them day in and day out. You can't rattle a mature believer that's rooted and grounded in God's word, right and divided. You can't rattle a mature saint, because they know that, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can't rattle them as much as you may try. But a mature believer isn't easily removed from his place of what he believes and whom he believes. And his discernment is always growing because he spends quality time with Jesus. In other words, he or she study the word of God. And they not only study it, they walk in it. They trust in it. They believe in it. Timothy knew the Bible well enough to become a pastor. and even teach the Bible others. Still, he was encouraged to keep reading it. If a pastor was urged to read the Bible, how much more should the common church member be? Just before dying in prison, Paul again wrote to Timothy. 2 Timothy, he told him, 4:13, the cloak that I left at Troas with carpets will now come and bring it with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. Paul evidently wanted parts of the Word of God so he could read them, even though he knew he would not be alive much longer. How much more should we, who plan to live for decades, who got visions of living years from now, how much more should we want to get in God's Word? Paul himself had admitted years earlier in Philippians chapter 3, he said, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either we were already perfect. He said, but I followed after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it even this unto you. This apostle, having preached God's word for years at that point, and he still had not plummeted the depths of the Bible. He still had more growing, more maturing to do. He was still attempting to understand the Christian life. Paul had not yet grasped just why God had saved him on the road to Damascus. All those years, that was his motivation for reading God's word, even more in dying, his dying days. Read Luke. They go a great example for you tonight. Luke chapter 4, 14 through 21. And we get the greatest example of giving attendance to reading. A primary example of someone who actually reading the Bible, text in the Bible, is the Lord Jesus himself. He knew the Holy Bible better than any mortal man will ever know it. Yet, he valued the scripture so much that he actually held this Isaiah scroll in his hand and he read from it. He read Isaiah 61:1-2, but he left off the end of Isaiah 61:62 because the day of vengeance hadn't taken place. Jesus knew right the vision for the benefit of his audience. He did not quote it from memory, although he could have very easily done so. To set the example, he requested a Bible scroll. He held it, talking about our Master, our Lord and Savior. He searched for the passage he wanted, and then he read from it. In those days of synagogue worship and limited writing media, not everyone had a personal Bible. The synagogue had their own Bible scrolls, and curiosity seekers had to go to the synagogue to read the Old Testament, Law of Moses, Psalm and Prophets. How much more should we read the Bible? We who have a personal copy, but many don't even know where their Bible's at. They got to go looking for it. Where did I put it? I can't remember the last time I had it. Most people don't understand what it means to be a Christian, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Reading and studying scripture right divided is the only way to be edified. Sad to say, many Christians in the body of Christ do not give attendance to studying the word of God right divided. My brothers and sisters, we need not sugarcoat it, dear friends. Christians who refuse to flip through the Bible and read it for themselves and who refuse to study are deceived. And many times, many are lazy. Just flat out lazy. We got energy for days for other things. But what about God's word? They believe they can remember the Bible so well that they have no reason to actually appeal to it in written form. This is thoroughly unwise. Brethren, God never intended us to rely on our memory when it comes to his word. If he had, he would have never given us a written Bible. At all. It's great to have doctrine stored on the inside of you. Memory fails. Memory is not 100% reliable. You want to base your soul's well-being on your memory? Huh? You go right on ahead, but count me out. Timothy was a pastor, and yet Paul encouraged him to give attention to reading and a Bible in his own personal life. Jesus flipped through the Bible. Israel kings were to flip through the scrolls of the law of Moses and read them all their days. I know pastors who have been teaching the Word of God, right, divided for 30, 40, even 50 years. They still open their Bibles and follow along when someone is teaching or preaching. They are honest enough to admit that they have more learning to do themselves. I still like to follow along in the scripture when others teach from it. Personally, I think people do not like to read the Bible because the Bible reads them. It pricks their hearts, and they resist its admonitions and rebukes. The honest truth that many people who claim to know the Bible so much that they no longer need to open it and follow along in it, they know very little about what the Bible actually says. No one ever reached a point of spirituality where they no longer need to read the Bible for themselves. What these people want to do is let the preacher or the Bible teacher do all the work of flipping and reading. They, on the other hand, will just sit idly in an easy chair and bob their heads in acknowledgement. That's what you see in many denominations and in many churches. They just bob their head, come and get that, They sit in the pew and agree with everything, my friends. Friends, the minister or the Bible teacher is just as human as all of us. We will overlook letters or words. We may honestly misread some. You got many who may honestly misread the Bible text. Unless you are following along in your own Bible, you may miss subtle truths. Then there are other ministers who are intentionally misreading verses so that their denomination theology is supported. Satan ministers, he has ministers in the pulpit. No one will ever check what these leaders say anyway because the audience never uses Bibles. These ministers have been to Bible colleges, seminaries. They expect to know what the Bible says, so most will never question them. This is the primary reason why the body of Christ has been so deceived for so many centuries. We should always remember, when studying a particular Bible passage, to first establish the following in this order. Who is writing or speaking? To whom are they writing? And what are they writing? Oftentimes, people ignore 1 and 2. And just focus on 3. We cannot just grab any Bible verse and apply it to us. Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, are written to the Gentiles and by the Gentiles. If you follow these simple keys the Bible understands, you will understand the Bible. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ opened up their understandings to my disciples that they might understand the scriptures, Luke 24:45, and expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning him. Luke 24:27. So will he explain the scriptures to you, the Holy Spirit, by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, if you allow him. If you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, if you have the right Bible, and you use dispensational Bibles, the Bible will literally become an open book. You will enjoy it, cherish it, esteem it, love it more and more each day. To the believer, Paul wrote the following. Ephesians 3:4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the scriptures. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. When we Christians read God's word and pay particular attention to what God says through Paul, Ephesians 3:4, 2 Timothy 2:7, God the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 3:16, will strengthen us inside in our soul and spirit. He will then use that doctrine that we believe to work in us. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as is in the truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. What will you see when you see the effectual working of the Holy Spirit and an ambassador who spend time with God in his word? Those who have been with Jesus, one thing for sure you will see and find out real soon about an ambassador that spend time with Jesus is that when a crisis strikes, they don't have to ask for time to build themselves up in the word, prayer, and faith. Those who have been with Jesus are always ready. They are ready to pray right and divided because they pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. They are there with a word right and divided for the specific situation at hand because the word of God is dwelling richly in them. Colossians 3:16. They have the right verse for the situation or circumstance at hand because they have the word of truth right and divided in their inner man. 2 Timothy 2:15. When those who have been with Jesus sit down by the bedside of the sick, they have something to offer besides the common courtesy of friendship or even the tender words of human sympathy and love. They have a word from God's own lips, rightly divided. They bring a message from the word of God for that individual inner man. They bring words that strengthen them in their inner man. When an ambassador for Christ sit down by the bedside of the mourner or the bedside of the sick, they have something better than words, than the world's cold comfort to present. They bring promises which shine like lamps in the gloom and cast their bright beam far into the gloom and depths of sorrow. They are able to tell them that to live is Christ and to die is gain. They are able to tell them, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And when they sit down beside the tempted, the tried, almost fainting ones, they have something better to offer than human counsel or a weak human arm. They are able to give them Philippians 4:6-7, and this is where we are in tonight. They are able to give them these words, somebody that's been with Jesus, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. There is no power to be compared for a moment with the spiritual power that comes from the effectual working of the Holy Spirit through the word of God rightly divided. Thank God for his word. And we'll pick up next week, my brothers and sisters, spending time with Jesus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word tonight. We pray as those who listen in, that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened. And we thank you for the gospel. And that is that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you for that good news. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.